Let's fasten your seats, guys. Now we're gonna talk about trouble. What about the price crisis?
Your podcast with a little bit of Brazilian coffee. Café.
Hello, everyone. This is Kelly Stein again, straight from São Paulo. Brazil, as you know, is the biggest producer, and now I can see and hear lots of comments saying that Brazil might be the villain of this price crisis because we are so efficient, because we produce so much. But really, is Brazil going to be punished to be so productive, to invest more than 132 years in coffee science? I don't think this is the problem. During our espresso moment, I'd like to thank you all the international audience for your emails, contacts, and insights. Guys, you're the best. I'm also aware that Brazilian listeners are excited with episodes in English as well, so they can practice their language skills and learn more from other coffee perspectives. For those who are listening coffee for the first time, you are very welcome. Once I received a message saying that I was biased since I was talking a lot about Brazilian coffee. Well, let me explain. As a Brazilian journalist focused in coffee, I took this space to break misconceptions about the biggest coffee producer in the world. Telling different stories and poking you with different perspectives are some of my goals. So yes, coffee is a space to take ownership of our narrative as Brazilian coffee professionals. That being said, I also would like to invite you to check our website, where I shared several links that might add information to this subject. Specialty Coffee Association, well known as SCA, produced some webinars and podcasts about the world coffee price crisis, but I couldn't add all of this content in this episode. So check it out, don't miss any details. And if you want to be part of our conversation, please feel free to publish your comments and I'll be honored to answer all of them. A huge buzz was around the price crisis, exploitation of producers, lack of financial resources, and the industry got really busy. You could see workshops, debates, lectures, economic studies were made, but what was done in fact to solve the problem? Vera and I started the conversation in this episode, but there's so much to talk about. For this reason, I invite you again to check the links at Coffee's website, and why not join us for a talk in person in April 25th at SCA Expo in Portland. We will address this problem and explain how some countries are doing a good job building domestic consumptions. We will address this problem and explain how some countries are doing a good job building domestic consumption. So don't miss it. Save the date. The lecture title is Building Domestic Consumption, Learning from Successful Global Models with Vera Spindola, Adam McLean, and me, Kelly Stein. It will be on a Saturday, April 25th, 2020, at 9:40 a.m. Room, take note, the room is D, as in Dan, 141. While you don't meet in person in Portland, hit the play and start your brainstorming about the prices, crisis, and domestic market. That's why we invited today Vera Spindola. Welcome, Vera.
Hi, Kelly.
I'm going to put you in trouble, right?
Yes, we are.
So, but before we start talking about the problem and all the drama involved the price crisis, I would like you to introduce yourself, tell about your story with coffee, your work nowadays.
Yeah, my name is Vera. So first of all, thank you so much, Kelly, for having me here on your podcast.
My pleasure.
My name is Vera. I'm Mexican. I live in Mexico City. I'm a development economist and have been focusing specifically on how to create value for producers. I started to study this at ANACAFE, which is the Asociación Nacional de Caficultores in Guatemala, the Institute of Coffee in Guatemala. And from there on, I worked for a very long time at UTS. And after that, I moved to Mexico City to work at the Secretary of Agriculture in Mexico City. And now I am working independently, doing a couple of projects all related to value for producer at the end of the day. And I'm also, since last December, part of the board of directors of the Specialty Coffee Association.
Oh my goodness, I'm nervous. I'm feeling... So how coffee became in your life? Why coffee?
So coffee came from me in my life. I was studying a different type of value change in coffee, understanding the production side and understanding how agriculture products are sold. And my professor invited me to study specifically certain agriculture products in Central America. And it was some vegetables, some nuts, and coffee.
Yeah, of course.
And I did not know that much about coffee. I just drank coffee with a lot of milk and sugar. I'm so sorry. And did not understand how to appreciate actually coffee. So I started to dive more into coffee at Ana Café and also another vegetable, which is called snow peas, and which Guatemala is a really big producer of snow peas. And I started to learn more of what was behind a cup of coffee by simply the production side, the processing side. It was such a beautiful product because it goes through so many hands. And then you have so many different type of tastes from a cup of coffee. So I had the opportunity also to do some cuppings at Ana Café at the time, and learning that they have different regions, and learning that every region and its environment influences the cup of coffee. So I for me, even being a development economist, you know, I was fascinated on how this was going to the other side of the world and being consumed in different type of countries. And also, sadly, learning that at that time we were calculating that around 8 to 10% of the final consumer value was received by the producer.
This, how much?
8 to 10%. Yes. Let's not drink coffee, not drink whiskey.
Exactly. And when did you start paying attention to coffee? Which year?
It was in 2005.
Oh my God, it's a long time. Mm-hmm. And you said that your work is to study the value of these agricultural products, right? Mm-hmm. What does it mean?
For many people, this is just a product. We consume it and that's it. For other people, this is a product. It needs to be consumed by a consumer, and let's make business out of it, which is maybe valid. There's not that much thought or vision behind sometimes thinking this is an agriculture product produced in, let's say, the southern hemisphere of the world. Let's focus on creating more value of this product, and that value is transferred to them. And this is different types of views, and mostly the majority of the products are being sold, and the added value is being transferred not to the producer, but to the company behind it.
The company who buys the green coffee roast and
sells. In this case, coffee, yes. The company that actually buys the green coffee at one point and transferred it to it being roasted coffee and then being sold.
So if you said that producer keeps 8 to 10%, meaning these companies are keeping 90% of...
In between, after the exporter, the majority is stayed in that way. Yeah, from the importer all the way up to the roaster, so to say.
You noticed since 2005, correct?
This was in 2005, yeah. And they have said, and that's according to some studies out there in the last years, they say now the value is more between 4 to 5%.
Oh, my goodness, it's getting...
Less.
It's like a terror movie.
Yes.
And okay, let's thinking about value, mm-hmm, and the concept of expensive and cheap. Sometimes, mm-hmm, people make confusions because, oh, this cup of coffee, let's say $5, is, mm-hmm, too expensive for me, and the, mm-hmm, consumer just see a number, mm-hmm, and a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. As soon as this consumer is aware of all the whole work behind that cup of coffee, not only in the farms, but actually the baristas and everything on the preparation, that $5 is not that much anymore. Mm-hmm. So this is what I believe, in my humble opinion, what is value. Mm-hmm. It's something bigger than price. Cheap or expensive. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. The majority of the products that we consume, we as consumers, I'm a consumer's coffee as well. We as consumers don't sometimes see the value, or we don't understand what's behind it. And that can be because of many reasons. Maybe it's not of our interest. Here, I think in the case of coffee, it also happens that from my perception and from my experience, coffee is not valued for what it really is. And what I mean with that is that when we talk about the cost of production and looking at the history and how coffee was introduced into our countries, and I will speak primarily from Mexico all the way down to Brazil, it has a large history of being a product which was developed, constructed on slaves. It was brought, introduced in a colonial era, and where primarily after that era, when it ended, it continued. So the continuation of labor force in this product led to the fact that we are not including the time that really is needed to produce coffee. Meaning when now going back to cost of production nowadays, we often don't include the time of the farmer, of his family spending time into it. Be it your husband working with you as a farmer, be it your wife working with you as a farmer, be it your daughter, your son, you know. And that has created for a miscalculation of what the actual cost of producing coffee is.
The price of green coffee over the last few years has plummeted at an alarming rate, ushering in a new era of affordable, cheap convenience for consumers the world over, at the severe detriment, however, to coffee producers in their respective origins. The specialty coffee industry is now at a blind crossroads in relation as to how best it tackles the situation. Whilst hosting the producer crossover event during the World of Coffee 2019 with This Side Up, we took the chance to talk one-to-one with some of the industry's leading authorities on the matter.
The reality that we face in the coffee industry is that we have generated this whole industry of connoisseurship and appreciation of quality and craft and fancy and all of this, but at the same time, we haven't allowed our partners at origin to appreciate the value of what they're selling at the same rates that we're enjoying on this side. So I very much see it's sure, it's a price crisis because on the international commodity market, the price is what it is. But it's also our reality that this is how we're paying for our green coffee, for the very raw material that we need to be an industry. We're playing into this pricing scheme that's not equitable, let's say.
I don't know if the market is changing. The demands are certainly the same. But at least there are some interesting questions arising, like today, you know, are the prices sustainable and what are we really doing about it? But I think the answer is nobody's doing anything. And people, of course, are worried because they are kind. I think they are sincerely worried, but then they are not ready to do anything about it, because the market reality is very different.
Even if we are specialty, we are also complicit in the price crisis. I think it was a moment of self-awareness that we don't really have. I think a lot of us in specialty think, I pay very high prices, I have nothing to do with the New York sea price, the price crisis is not me, it's others. And I think the bombshell was when we said, well, maybe not all coffee farmers should stay in coffee. And I think that was also a stark sort of acknowledgement that, you know, specialty is not necessarily a way out of poverty.
The producer is as messed up as he has been always. Mm-hmm. You know, it's if I look at Ethiopia, one guy from the ministry told me, Eliana, look at Yirgacheffe. It's one of the most famous coffees. It was the coffee, actually, he told me that 3 years ago. The most expensive coffee sold in the country was Yirgacheffe 3 years ago. And he told me, look, the people are still the same. And it's true, nothing has changed for the people locally, you know. What's the fault? What's the reason? I don't know.
We are contributing to the crisis. We are creating a lot of value, but it gets stuck in the cup, in the beautiful latte art. We still go to origin with a mindset that, you know, I'm going to tell my producer what to do, what kind of cup score I need, what kind of processing I need, creating all this work and all this expectation that specialty will sell itself. And in reality, I think sometimes, you know, producing specialty, as Martin from Coffee Circle suggested, it's a way into poverty if we don't have the information.
It's good you pointed out. And 2 years ago, the price crisis got even stronger. And everybody is like desperate. Let's do this, let's do that. Colombia and Brazil sign agreements, a brainstorming of possible solutions start rising. People are talking. The World Forum Coffee Producers is created. We just had recently here in Campinas in Brazil. So coffee leaders were together to do this brainstorm. Okay. And then before, during this turmoil, you decide to say, let's think in a productive way about actual solutions. So you start looking at this as an assignment of SCA or the government of Mexico. How did you start?
Okay, so first of all, just from my perception, looking at the, when we talk about that there currently is a crisis in coffee related to the low coffee prices, we often think that this is what happened this year. Many of us that work in coffee and have been following the development of coffee sustainability know that this crisis did not start beginning of the year. The sustainability of coffee has been an issue for many, many years. And I think it has come to a level, let's say 3 to 4 years ago, where many people started in uniformity just agree this is not sustainable anymore, even for more efficient producing countries. And it was at that time that finally there was more attention giving to the sustainability of coffee from an economic point of view. And it has been a long journey for this sector to actually say, and at one point say, maybe, you know, the costs of production are not covered anymore by its price. You know, and it's, I'm not sure where that particular issue lies, that we're not able to just say it. Price is not enough. That single sentence has taken a long time for the sectors to say it. And I'm very happy that we are now critically looking into the matter. And in this case, also with the Specialty Coffee Association, where we are saying, okay, so this moment where we are looking into that these low coffee prices are having a long-term impact, negative impact on coffee producing region is, and its system itself that involves this coffee price, where it's defined and where it's traded on, is not giving any solution for these coffee regions. Having said that, particularly the topic that I'm currently working on and that I've been contacted by you and we have been looking into the Brazil sector, it's related to the consumption of specialty coffee in producing countries. And primarily also looking into the fact, the positive impact this can have on producers in that same country. And the reason why did we look at it? It was simply at the same time that this topic was arising, having more momentum last year, at the same time, the Specialty Coffee Association, together with Rick Reinhardt, he and I started to talk more and more, again, consuming specialty coffee in these countries. And it was not necessarily some incidents. It was more that we were seeing these specialty coffee shops coming up. So this particular study, the intention was really to see what is the potential of the specialty coffee consumption in producing countries, and what does it need to have more impulse, more support in order to develop more. And therefore we choose, and this is together with the team at SCA, we chose 4 countries, Brazil, Colombia, Mexico, and Rwanda. And each of these countries have unique profiles and development of its own country. And that's why I'm here.
That's why you were part of the forum and then Avance, right? Mm-hmm. Can you describe quickly what was this event of Avance?
So Avance is a sustainability event created by the Specialty Coffee Association. And Avance was organized in Guatemala City, in Guatemala. And the objective of that event was to discuss with people in producing countries who often do not have the opportunity to travel to events where other people of the industry and the sector are able to travel to have an opportunity to talk with them. In this particular event, we talked about social challenges, economic challenges, environmental challenges. And even at that time, we talked a lot on the economic challenges. At that time, prices were not that low as now, but still, we had some fruitful discussions with the producers and other representatives of the producing part of the chain from the region.
And people might be questioning themselves why we are talking about prices and sustainability. Let's remember that the concept of sustainability has three pillars. So it might be respectful with the environment, social, and economically. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about prices, we are talking about sustainability too. And in some people might ask why specialty coffee market in the world are discussing prices, because it's like a bubble where they are doing their own prices. But let's consider that all the starting point, the basis, is according to the stock market, right? Mm-hmm. So this crisis is affecting somehow the specialty coffee market too, and producers are paying the bill. Mm-hmm. Without money, they are paying the bills. Mm-hmm. So you can see lots of angry speeches on social media, some producers chopping their trees off. It's just because the problem is real, is urgent, and we are searching for possible solutions. What I saw during the forum in Avance, thank you very much, SCA, for inviting me to be there too, is some possible solutions, but there is no magic recipe. Some might work in Brazil, some might work in Mexico. And can you highlight the solutions that you heard that you think there is a potential to make the difference?
So yes, I think raising awareness and wasting more attention to the issue, as was done during the World Coffee Producer Forum, is very important. I think it creates attention. It creates a moment where we can talk about this issue. You know, many people drink coffee, have no clue that there are low coffee prices. They can only see that more and more cafes are being opened in their neighborhoods. So the Specialty Coffee Association started end of last year with the Price Crisis Response Initiative. And this initiative, its objective is to define actions where the Specialty Coffee Association can take these actions within their organizations in order to actively have mechanisms in place to combat this crisis situation. One of the things that we need to be clear, this is nothing new for the coffee sector.
Exactly.
The crisis, there has been moments of low, very low coffee prices. And what was very interesting to see from the presentation of Jeffrey Sachs, that we could simply see that although there have been crises before, again, low coffee prices, you could see from the chart that every time it's the tendency is not necessarily that moment that there is a low coffee price. The tendency is that the trend is the prices are going down. So the long-term pricing is going down. And that is of definitely concern. You can have a moment of crisis in price, and that can take up to a year or less. But if you have long, consistent, low prices, that's much greater issue, and that becomes a structural issue for a sector.
As you mentioned, Dr. Sachs, and some people here in Brazil didn't like very much his speech and this idea of a global fund. I don't want to put you in trouble, you don't need to answer, but I'd like to listen your comments about this global fund.
So in order for me to respond to what is my opinion on the global coffee fund, I will go back and mention to you there are a couple of reasons why we're in this situation, you know, and in order to understand those reasons, again, the SCAA is doing this exercise with the Price Crisis Response Initiative. We're trying to understand what is happening in the system. Why are we every time having this moment in time that we have these very low coffee prices? So that's an exercise that we're doing with the SCAA. To answer more your question, what we're seeing is that there are changes in the sector that has influenced simply the fact that we have these low coffee prices. You could simply state that what we're seeing is, and one you guys have recently been seeing here in Brazil, is that this changing of weather patterns is not of a supportive system to the coffee prices itself. You know, it influences. And why does it influence? Simply because Brazil is a producer that contributes largely to the defining of the price itself. So when you have a large frost here, it will influence the price itself. But who is in that coffee system? Who defines what the if the prices go up and down. And that particular system consists specifically to companies that define, buy and sell coffee. Now, who are these companies? We live and assume that we are that this is defined by people that buy coffee. Well, sadly to say, this system has been also influenced by companies that do not even buy or sell coffee. They just use it simply to invest their money, retreat their money, and then use their money for something else. Would you say that that's a free market concept for commodity? From my perspective, not. Do they need to be there? Perhaps they need to be there because we need to use their money in order for them to move the coffee around the world. But I do not fully agree that we should have and define coffee as a commodity when you know that the majority of the people that are producing coffee is almost 70 to 80% small producers. So we're putting this big system, and behind it are producers who do not have the capabilities or have the ability to manage the risk on their farms. That's simply a system where you see the power distribution becoming uneven, unbalanced, so to say. So when you say, is the Global Fund a solution for it? Perhaps it can be used for one part of something that's not going well in the coffee sector. Is it a long-term solution for the issue that we're seeing that's going on in the coffee sector? I don't think so. I think we cannot treat this as a disease. There are fundamental issues in the coffee sector that need to be addressed, and we need to talk openly about it. And if we do not talk openly about it, as we did not do it, we're not able to address it. So Global Coffee Fund, I do not fully see it as that solution for the issue that is now taking place in the coffee sector.
Well, some here in Brazil believe that this won't fix the problem because it's assistance. So this assistance one day can finish and we come back to the same tragedy. In my personal opinion, I think producers, they don't need help. They need respect and they need to be treated as coffee business people, you know. As soon as this change, this mindset change in the producer's mind as well, everything will start changing. So he look not as a poor, humble producer, but he is going to look to 2 hectares farms as a company which needs some departments and some qualification in each department. So Brazil is doing this already, and as soon as those producers shift their mindset, they are looking carefully to the domestic market. So now they are negotiating prices directly to micro roasters here in Brazil, coffee shops, and some even get the status of celebrities among consumers here. It's really interesting to see some coffee events here. So, oh, this is Sitio Santa Rita. Oh, I try your coffee. So it's really nice, engaging, and Brazil had a record harvest in last year, for sure. But the accident, what the volume that was extra was consumed by the domestic markets. So when people in the stock market said, oh, Brazil has just lots of coffee, and they start talking about prices, let's think that Brazil, according to Euromonitor, is the biggest consumer market in the world. Some might not agree, but it's Euromonitor. And I, guys, if you're interested, check their website. I will leave the link to this research that they did. So coming back, you're spending extra days here in Brazil, especially in São Paulo. Guys, she is in my studio.
Thank you for the invite.
The second international guest visiting where coffee was born. Can you tell me your goals here and what you and SCA will do with this information that you're collecting?
So the intention is to create more insight in how specialty coffee is consumed, particularly in Brazil. It's based on case studies. So we will be interviewing, or I'm interviewing and have interviewed so far, certain actors within the Brazilian specialty coffee chain in order to understand better how coffee is being consumed here, how coffee is being sourced from producer, what is the insight from producers selling their specialty coffee on the national market. And because at the end of the day, again, the focus here is on that positive impact on producers. This doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not interviewing other people from the chain, because it's very important to note that in order for producers to have that for their coffee to be sold more, we need to also look into, okay, so what is the rest of the chain doing here in specialty coffee? And that's where it's become really interesting, because we always talk about sustainability of producers. We also need to look at the sustainability of the specialty coffee chain in itself. And many times we know that these are sometimes small and medium entrepreneurs that are investing in specialty coffee because it's their passion, setting up a business with sometimes savings from their families, with loans from banks, with high interest rates, and trying to set up the business, try to sell the coffee, believe in the work the farmer does, believe in the cup quality of the coffee, and really making an effort to put the best cup of coffee to their consumers. And in order to maintain that, there are many elements that we need to understand in order to support that. So that's why I'm trying to have a better insight into this supply chain here in Brazil. And thank you so much, Kelly, for the connections as well.
Oh, come on. It's my pleasure. I'm really excited about your research. And you actually already did a RICO lecture, right? Mm-hmm. Giving the first.
And we will be publishing the numbers that come with the study, of course. And the intention is to really share what we're seeing in these countries. And it is, at least for me so far, very insightful, very hopeful at the same time, because at the end of the day, we are all consumers. So we can choose what we eat. And in this particular case, we can choose what we drink. And if we drink, for that matter, a coffee that you do not know where it comes from, that you do not know how it was sourced or no information at all, it gives you already an indication if it was specialty coffee or not. And even if it was not specialty coffee, at least if it was sustainable or not. And I think, from my perspective at least, our countries, and in this case specifically the countries that were involved in the study, we have large groups of consumers, large groups of young people that are discovering coffee, that are discovering specialty coffee, and we have this immense potential to influence this group of people, to share the stories, what we're seeing from the producing regions, and we are able to influence them to consume a certain quality of coffee, and more importantly, be it sustainably, especially coffee.
And start telling the story of coffee to these consumers.
Exactly.
And meanwhile, adding value, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
And right now, like, because I'm VIP, I don't care. I will ask you some spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Spoilers. Spoilers. Can you share some insights that, or high points of your visits and your talks so far?
I think one of the most important thing is the assumption to think that all, in this case even, all high quality coffee from Brazil is exported. You know, that perception we often have had in many years, you know, the best coffee is being exported. It's not true. The best coffee is not exported. There is a portion of the of that coffee being consumed in the country itself. And it applies for Colombia, Mexico, and even Rwanda, which is a very small consuming country. So that for me is already a good sign, you know, because there are other products that simply maybe, yes, their best quality of that product is being exported. So for me, that's very positive. The other insight is that the consumers are consuming more specialty coffee, are looking really into the ways, okay, I want to drink a Brazilian cup of coffee, but I don't want it to be this and this. I'm looking for what farm is it? What variety is it? What altitude is it? They're looking into their own ways in consuming coffee, and that's a very good sign. More and more that is seen in all of these countries. That's very positive.
And they are also searching and learning about brewing methods. They're starting following mm-hmm. some famous or celebrities, baristas, mm-hmm. and even producers. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware that you talk to a group of farms who is selling 100% of their production to the domestic market. Mm-hmm. You're talking to responsible buyers, responsible for coffee, mm-hmm. supermarket chains. Mm-hmm. So meaning that the specialty market and the regular market, let's say like this, the traditional coffee,
mm-hmm.
needs to communicate.
Yeah, I think it has a lot of value in communicate the story behind a cup of coffee in itself. And there are many ways on how you can communicate it. And that really depends on what kind of society you live in and what are people asking for, or what do you think people are asking for. The interesting thing here is, again, there is an, here specifically in Brazil, there's a sector that is consuming a lot of coffee at home, be it in capsules. There's another part that just consumes traditional coffee, which is not bad. If that's your taste, that's fine. The only thing is that we do need to understand and share with consumers more on how the coffee is being sourced. And the specialty coffee cafes here in Sao Paulo, you know, people are looking at it. People are looking at them. People are looking at them on how coffee is being consumed, on what the next step will be. And this, for me, is very exciting news. We often, in these traditional just producing countries, just look outside and think, oh, let's look at the latest trends in coffee from Australia or from Europe or from the US. That's okay. You know, it's valid. But there's a lot of cool things happening in our own countries, developments when it comes to consuming, but also simply how we like coffee. You know, what is our taste? What do we appreciate from a cup of coffee? Coming from region Minas Gerais or region Paraná, we can actually, you know, learn from each other more. And I think that is very valuable. And I very much invite people that visit each other's country in the region, or, you know, always try to visit some nice coffee shop, because they often, you know, show a bit more on what the trend is in that particular country.
It's interesting you mentioned that we are not selling coffee. We are selling experiences. Mm-hmm. And if the producer who shift their mind and think the farm is a company, they can offer experiences in their farm too and have extra income that doesn't depend on climate, doesn't depend if the coffee trees are giving cherries or not. So I truly believe that diversification of product, I'm not talking only about vegetables or other fruits, but if they think about selling experiences, this can be a good start too. And do you believe then, because you're here spend a lots of days, and I'm very proud, really, because usually when I reach the international community of coffee and I talk, I'm from Brazil, I really like the Brazilian coffee, people don't understand. They say, what, maybe she's newbie in this market. So, and during the forum, I felt like, oh, so Brazil is the biggest problem, the coffee prices. So I just don't accept this, because we cannot be punished to be studying a long time, being innovative. We can produce, yes, quality and quantity. And guys, you need to be more creative to find villains, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's natural to always look for something easy to target on and say, that's your fault, you know? Those Brazilians, you know?
I mean, yes, I listen to this, those Brazilians.
Those Brazilians, you know, it's something that I understand them? Yeah, a bit. I'd rather say, okay, so that's the situation. That's what happened. That's their investment in the development of coffee for their country. That's valid. You know, nobody said in our countries, let's stop research and development in our country. Nobody said that. But at the same time, it is a huge investment. There are many economic, social issues in our countries in order to actually make the coffee industry prosper in our country. We all realize that. But there are many things what we can do. And my particular focus is based on these case studies, also give examples on what we need to work on. And perhaps we need to work on that. It's not necessarily the responsibility of a coffee sector. And I will give you an example in a minute. But that can also be, you know, the responsibility of somebody else. A simple example of, let's take in this case, Mexico, where there are many, especially coffee shops in Mexico City, in other big cities in Mexico, even in smaller cities in Mexico, simply these beautiful cafes that have been popping up, wanting to serve the best Mexican coffee, specialty coffee. These are often small and medium entrepreneurs, as I mentioned, you know, people that are looking for, as their mom or their dad, can you loan me some money to set up a business, you know? And that's beautiful to see, but the reason why they do it is simply because the banks do not give them loans. And it's a shame, because if you see how the economy they created goes back to the producer, basically maintaining a producer family to continue in coffee production simply because the specialty cafe has been able to pay them much more than the local market price, then you're not only supporting the cafe, you're also supporting, you know, the producer community in that particular region.
And they are local community too, because they are hiring baristas.
And it's a local community. So there are many angles that they're prospering. And I think that's a particular part that not necessarily is a responsibility of the coffee industry, but it is something, if there's sufficient information or proof for a financial institution, they can actually think about it twice and say, well, maybe we should look at it differently, the national coffee sector and the national coffee consumption. Maybe we can support it more. You know, there are many elements to it. So, and that's a bit the insight that we want to provide.
And because considering that lots of people believe that Brazil is the problem, I'm really proud, because usually I get angry about this, and I'm sorry. But usually people think Brazil is the coffee giant, but 85% of production here is cultivated by families, mm-hmm. small producers mm-hmm. with properties 5 to 8 hectares. Mm-hmm. So we are talking about families, we are not talking about rich corporations. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm really proud to receive you here mm-hmm. in our backyard, and you're listening different stories. Finally, we are taking ownership of our narrative, and mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I'm especially proud of you to be here.
So you can share it also with the coffee community here in Brazil. And again, it's for me also important that we don't only want to just share and talk about people, want to involve people. So that's why I think it's important that, you know, love to hear insight or comments or what people think. You know, this study maybe stops physically, but you know, if anybody wants to get in touch to me to share their insights or share some numbers, what they've done, glad to receive it. I think, and this is me on behalf of the Specialty Coffee Association, we believe very much in the communities that have been created here in these countries, and we very much support it. So, and in that support is also, of course, sharing information.
I'll leave her email in the website of Coffee. So if you're listening in your phone, go to the website and check her email. I would like to listen this to the insights.
I would love to hear your input, Sengali, over some cachaça.
We exchange cachaça and tequila.
Sim.
Muchas gracias, Vera.
A ti, muchísimas. Muito obrigado, Kelly. Obrigada.
Coffee, 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 co